Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and tonight we're going top shelf with a great guest, a voice you'll probably recognize, Will Lyman. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you, Dan?
Just fabulous. Well, if you've got a question for Will or for George and I, put it in the chat room in Facebook or in YouTube or wherever it is you're watching, or send up a smoke signal, and we'll get to that. And we're going to have a great time tonight, so stay tuned. VoiceOver Body Shop, right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the voiceover world today, letting you ask your questions, and giving you the latest information to make the most of your voiceover business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. JMC Demos, when quality matters. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or
VOBS.
All righty. Well, we're into 2021 and trying a new system tonight to see if this makes things a little bit easier. If you were around last week or 2 weeks ago when things just sort of fell off the face of the earth. It's, you know,
but 2021 is 2020 with more cowbell.
We need more cowbell.
Yes.
Yes, anyway, but I had a fun weekend. I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but drink lots of water. Don't get a kidney stone.
If Dan becomes more and more unintelligible, you'll know why.
Yes.
He's on a few painkillers.
Yeah, yeah. But I am feeling no pain, fortunately.
Good, good.
Yeah. So if you've ever had a kidney stone, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, don't get one.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about voiceover and all the cool stuff that goes along with that. Now, I'm going to introduce our guest, but you have to understand, I've wanted to get him on for like 10 years. We've been doing this show for 10 years, if you can believe that. You know, when the word podcast was just like a what? And I could actually show you on the spreadsheet, I want to get Will Lyman on the show. And George is like, okay. And finally, I'm on his website, and I'm like, oh, I can just contact him. And he wrote back. So let me introduce him. Let's see here. I know it's here somewhere. Okay. All right. Will Lyman's an actor, a voice actor, very accomplished at a lot of different things, but you would recognize him first, depending if you watch PBS a lot, as the voice you usually hear when you watch Frontline. This voice that just sort of grabs you and says, I'm going to tell you the truth. But probably more notably so, for those of you watching football games, he was the voice for the Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world campaign. So let's welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop, Will Lyman. Will, welcome.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Hey, Will.
Yeah. Joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. Anyway, Welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on. And I have so many questions that I've always wanted to ask. But first off, what I usually ask people is give us a little background on yourself. I mean, we know what you do, but how did you get there? Where are you from originally, and what led you into doing voiceover work along with your acting?
Well, I'm originally from Vermont, and I came to Boston in 1966 to go to Boston University School of Fine Arts and study theater. And when I eventually got out of there after some hemming and hawing, I had decided that actually theater was what I wanted to do in my life. And but as we know, it's not a great way to make a living. And my secondary thought was, well, if I'm going to do this, I need an income stream of some sort. Waiting tables is really is too much work and very strenuous. So, people had told me I have a great voice, I figured, well, of course, that's how I'm going to do it. So I started taking my little tapes around on my little 5-inch reels, which we were treasured back in those days. I'm chopping them off in studios and ad agencies all over Boston. And I was doing, a radio spot every couple of months, that kind of thing. I went away to Denver to do the opening season, the inaugural season of the Denver Center Theater for the Arts. We did, Learned Ladies. We did Midsummer Night's Dream, and I did Chalk Circle. And when I came back, I got a call from my friend and mentor Jay Rose, who is now unfortunately no longer with us. My age, much too young to die. He called and said, "Listen, I've got a session with the Boston Globe. They want to do 4 spots, and they asked for you. Can you come in?" I said, "Yeah, I can come in." And I went in, and before I even got in the booth, they said, "Where have you been? We've been looking for you. We had this campaign planned around you, and we couldn't find you. Somebody said you were out west. Where are you?" And I said, "Yeah, I was in Denver." And so they said, "Well, listen, we've got these spots for the Globe. There's another thing that we want you to do next week. It's like 5 spots for so-and-so. Are you going to be able to come in next?" "Well, never mind. We'll talk about that later. Get in the booth, do these 4 spots for the Globe." And I went into the booth and I did the 4 spots, and fortunately, I didn't screw them up. And I came out and they said, "Okay, so about next week." And from that moment on, that was 1980, April of 1980, something like that, I stopped looking for work because people just called. And it was like, you're in the club. And it really felt like a club at that point. It was, you're in or you're out. And I was in suddenly after 8 years, I was in.
No. It wasn't like an overnight success thing.
Well, it was an overnight success thing after 8 years. Yeah.
After 8 years. Right. That's how it works with bands, right? They try and try, and then all of a sudden here they are.
Yeah.
So I'm always fascinated by the fact that the really great voice actors, the ones who are really top drawer, especially when it comes to narrating audiobooks, are classically trained actors. We've had Scott Brick and Simon Vance on the show, and several others. Yeah, they got great voices, but they're amazing storytellers. And but they're also classically trained, Shakespearean. Phil Proctor as well has been on our show in the same way. what really is involved in learning how to act that way? Because I think some people tend to forget, if they're voice actors, that that's what they're doing. It's acting. And I think a lot of people think, no, I just have to have a good sounding voice. Not so. What is it that you think you really learn by getting that type of training?
I studied for 4 years at BU in the theater program there. But quite honestly, I'm still learning how to do Shakespeare. It doesn't stop. I don't think I was particularly adept at 24, 22, 3, 4 when I came out of college. And for a long time after that. So it's training, and it's practice, and it's growing up too. For me, it was and learning about who I was and really what my responsibility to being an actor was about. And that took I'm ashamed to say, it took a long time for me. And I'm still working on parts of that the things that you deal with as a human being, and somebody with with ego and self-regard that you really have to get under control in order to be really good at it. And as I say, I'm still struggling with that, still working on that.
Well, you still do a lot of live theater though, right?
Well, I used to prior to then now there's no theater anywhere in the world. Theater on Zoom really, it just doesn't interest me. I'm sorry. It's a nice try. I appreciate it. But I'm not really interested in watching it. It's not theater. It's some other thing. And, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I recently tried to put together a reading of a new play for a friend of mine, and finally concluded that by the time we'd put all of this work and effort into making it happen, nobody was going to want to watch it.
So it defeats the purpose there.
Well, why don't you just wait until we can get people in a room together and do what we're supposed to do with it? I mean, that's,
Hey, there's an entire...
What's the point of eating it now? Nobody's producing anything now. So anyway, so it's not like, got to get this up on its feet. Yeah, just wait.
Yeah, there was a whole network, a whole new distribution model called Quibi that went down. I mean, the amount of money that went into that platform, it was a serious amount of money went into that platform.
It's amazing, George. What you actually can't do with all that money.
Good point. Good point. Well, speaking of, the money line here, I want to talk about Frontline for a little bit, because I think, those of us that really like to watch PBS and, get our news from there, because it's just in-depth reporting and stuff. How did you get that particular gig? I mean, I imagine it helped being in Boston. For starters,
that was certainly a helpful factor. I had done actually a funny story. I had a poker night, Friday night poker night with a friend of mine, Bill Anderson, who was a editor. Actually, there are a couple of Bill Andersons, but this is my friend Bill Anderson. And he worked for PBS, and he was editing a Nova called Cobalt Blues, and it was about the world supply of cobalt. And he said, "Listen, come on over. I'm actually the the director of the program is going to be with us that Friday night. I want you guys to meet. And so I went and played poker with Bill and Ted. And Ted asked me to narrate the Nova. And I think that was one of the first things I did for PBS was this Nova program. And after that, I did a few more, and then I did several episodes of Eric Severide's Enterprise. Then that went away. And then I entered this competition to narrate something called Vietnam, a Television History. I remember, the only thing I remember about it was that I was in contention with Richard Kiley. And I said, oh, well, forget that. That's not gonna happen. And I got the job. And we did 13 episodes of that, and it won all kinds of Columbia Peabodys and everything else under the sun. When that was over, I got a call from David Fanning, who was in his second year of Frontline, and said, we were looking for, because the first year of Frontline, all of the episodes were narrated by the producers and the journalists. And he decided he wanted a signature voice for the series. And so he called me in and said, would you do it? I said, well, I don't know. Of course, I said, yes, absolutely thrilled. And so that's really how that happened. It's just kind of one step after the other.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, our guest is Will Lyman, the iconic voice of Frontline on PBS and a lot of other stuff. You know, it's you have this voice that is instantly recognizable, which I think is really, really important. You know, it just shows that I guess that you've made it.
It's job security is what that is.
Exactly. You know, don't need much of a resume. Just talk. Oh, you're that guy.
That guy. Exactly. My wife always says, why aren't you in the upfront credits for Frontline? You should be. It should be Frontline with Will Lyman. No, I don't do the kind of work that's involved in that. My job is very specific, and put me at the tail credits, and that's good, because really, people don't know Will Lyman. They know that guy from right. You know, that show. That's what my voice means to them. It's not Will Lyman. It's that guy. Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, well, you've been one of my voiceover heroes for a long time, and that's considering what a narrow genre that is. Take that as high praise, indeed.
I do.
So what goes into the production of that show? I mean, it's hard hitting journalism.
A lot of work. Not necessarily on my part, but a lot of work. I'm narrating a show that goes on. Tuesday, the 19th. Today's the 19th. Next Sunday. Next Sunday, I'm narrating a show that goes on the air the following Tuesday. And that's cutting it pretty close. Jim Sullivan's our mixer extraordinaire. Has got his work cut out for him to get that out and on the air. Usually, it's a bigger stretch between my finishing up. Mike Kirk always says, "I'm always glad when I see you because it means my job is almost done." By the time they get to putting a voiceover on it, you know, everything's pretty much done.
Yeah. What's the direction on that voice? I mean, you get it that it's like, you know, you're not trying to put on a voice, you're just being you, but you've got this seriousness to the to these, you know, to the subject matter that just seems to grip you. What's the direction that you get to achieve that? Or what are you, what goes on in your mind to try and achieve that?
Well, for instance, with Mike, who's one of the most frequent producers there, it's just phenomenal, the work that he puts out. When I first started working with Mike back when we were doing the films about a decade of destruction about the Amazon rainforest back in, I don't know, when was that, 91, 92, something like that. Now we'll go in and we'll, you know, and I'll watch sometimes the whole scratch of the show, sometimes just 5-10 minutes of it, get the idea, get the feeling, get the milieu, the atmosphere, and we'll say, so what are we doing this week, you know, and a lot of it is just, he said, just you telling the story. A lot of times is like, it's with an attitude of, you know this, right? You know what happened. You've seen this before. I'm just putting it in perspective for you and putting it in a sequence so that you understand that this affected this and this affected this. But you know this. You know this information already. Sometimes it's a little mystery story. Like I always remember the episode called "The Man Who Knew" about the man who tried to warn the FBI about the about 9/11, and was basically dismissed from the FBI for being a pain in the ass, and became the security manager for the Twin Towers.
Right.
That was.
It does not seem to be there.
I got little circles going around.
No, you're back.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Technology. We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So they found the right voice for this because it always seems to work just right when you.
Well, they haven't fired me yet, so I guess they're happy.
It's always a good thing. They couldn't replace you. They couldn't be done. It would not be the same show. As far as I'm concerned. Now, the other thing you're known for, and I think probably far more people know this because let's face it, not everybody watches PBS.
Because it's beer.
That's right. Because it's beer.
Everybody drinks beer.
Right. And not a brand of beer that was like really well known. So this was, you know, a real breakout campaign for them. But you were the voice behind the Most Interesting Man in the World commercials, which I thought were just incredibly brilliant. You know, anytime they would come on, you're just like, all right, what are they going to do with this guy this time?
Yeah.
And how'd you get that particular gig?
I just read for it. They sent it to me and I read for it. And actually, the audition was, I think there were 3 pages of those one-liners. And I just read them off one after the other, and they hired me.
You've got about 500 people out there listening to this now going, you know, but it was,
it's because I'm so brilliant and so great, Dan.
Well, there you go. Well, it was, I think the deadpan nature of it just so hit it so good. And,
it was really clever. It's a great, great, great campaign.
Yeah. And I imagine and fun to work with, you know, fun to work on, you know, I mean, but there wasn't even like a hint of a smile in your voice with it. It was just straight down like it was an actual documentary, which is, I guess,
what he is, and this is why you care about him. Yeah.
I've got it ready to play. Can I play just a little tiny bit of it? Just the audio.
The police often question him just because they find him interesting. His beard alone has experienced more than a lesser man's entire body. his blood smells like cologne. He is the most interesting man in the world.
The writing is freaking brilliant, of course.
I was in New Orleans one Halloween, and who are you going to go as? I said, I don't know. So I decided to go as the most insufferable man in the world. All I did was change it to first person. My blood smells like cologne. It's said that Evel Knievel has a picture of me in his bedroom.
The writing room must have been just great. Just because they're all just short, short little bites.
Yeah.
And so you just come up with the most absurd stuff and just see what sticks. I mean,
what was the agency with that?
Now you ask me, of course. Never worked for them again.
But the checks cleared, and that's really all that matters.
Well, they used to. what was their name, for heaven's sake? Well, now
three letters or four letters?
That's why you're not working for us again. You can't even remember who we were.
I think that would say more about them.
Names don't stick with me. Anyway. Yeah.
Once again, we're talking with Will Lyman. If you have a question for Will Lyman, put it in the Facebook chat room. And Jeff Holman is hiding back there somewhere, taking down all these questions, and will be relaying them to us, and we will relay them to Will, and Will will answer them. Whether he answers them honestly or not, that's
cool. That's a good caveat, yeah.
Do you have a home studio?
I have a booth, Dan. I have a booth. It's about this big.
Fits your head in there? Is that it?
No, it has a door and it has a chair and that's but it's a converted closet basically.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to walk too far to get to it, so I had a closet in my office, and I said I can make a booth out of that. So we did. It was very small. And I sit hunched over like this to read. This is the only place it sounds good is right in this corner.
Right. I love letting people hear that on the show. We have amazing talent on our show all the time. And I think people are shocked half the time when some of them tell you, yeah, I'm in my closet in my boxer shorts.
I have a picture of me. I was, my wife and I were vacationing in France, and I had, you know, I don't remember whether it was Frontline or Dos Equis or whoever was it called and needed something right away. And I have a picture of me with my headphones, my Harlan Hogan headphones, by the way.
Oh yeah, Harlan.
And my Blue Yeti in the closet of this house that I was renting with the guy's wetsuits, his neoprene wetsuits hanging all over the place. It worked very well.
Pretty good acoustic. Did it work okay?
Yeah. Nobody knew. Nobody knew where I was.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, as we like to tell people, nobody needs to see how the sausage is made.
That's right.
As long as they hear it and it sounds good.
Yeah. How do you, how not you're working from home ostensibly for everything? How are they doing? Are they just giving you a script and you read it wild and you just send in files, or are they remote recording you?
Mostly,
how
do they do it? Mostly I just do the short stuff from home, the promos, you know. There's a couple of, you know, industrial things that I do every now and then. I used to do a ton of that stuff and not so much anymore. I don't know whether it's because they don't hire me or because they're not doing them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And occasional, I don't think, I'm trying to think if I've done, I have done some advertising from the booth. Most people want to go somewhere though. Of course, I haven't had, there hasn't been much business in the last 10 months, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't had to do much commercial work from your home closet setup.
I have done some, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think probably TurboTax was the last thing I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
the front line to do a full narration. I go over to GBH to do it still. I mean, there's nobody in a building. There's me and a janitor and a guy at the front desk and the engineer. And we're in
Silicon Valley.
And the producers are on Zoom. So,
yeah.
That's a much more comfortable setup to do an hour's session.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole new world out there. Once again, we're talking with Will Lyman here on VoiceOver Body Shop. If you got a question for him, throw it in the Facebook chat room and we will get that question to him. But right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Will right after those. Stay tuned.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge rewards. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's Tech Wisdom.
Hey there, hero. David H. Lawrence, the 17th here. You enjoying Will Lyman as much as I am? Will and I worked together on a project, actually, called League of Denial. He narrated, of course, the PBS Frontline episode. I narrated the audiobook, and it was about the NFL's concussion crisis. You hear a lot about audiobooks that it's an awful lot of work and not a lot of money. And when I hear that, I think to myself, man, I wish I could help that person understand that, yeah, not everybody makes a ton of dough in audiobooks, but you won't do yourself any favors if you just try things out, see what sticks, and you don't get proper training and put in a good system, a good production flow. I teach a course called the ACX Masterclass, and we're about to launch our Winter 2021 series. We've got a series of 3 free videos about this very thing, how much opportunity there is, and sometimes how little money there is in return, and how to fix that. Go to acxmasterclass.com. That's acxmasterclass.com. Watch the videos. We'll open up registration for the ACX Masterclass real soon, and we'll give you a discount as well for watching VOBS. acxmasterclass.com. Thanks.
Hey, you and I know that recording from home can be noisy. You need to hear that noise and do all you can to minimize it. So here are the Harlan Hogan Voice Optimized Headphones version 2.0 to the rescue. Good headphones for voiceover playback need to be truth tellers, giving you exactly what you recorded, not colored or too bassy. The H2 voice-optimized headphones have incredibly flat response and give you that truth. Other great features include the replaceable plug-in cord and the oh-so-soft Napa leather ear cups. By the way, VoiceOver Essentials has replacement cords and ear cups, both in stock and both ship free in the U.S. Make sure you know exactly what you and your recording space sound like. The Harlan Hogan Voice Optimized Headphones. Get them only from voiceoveressentials.com. I use them, and so should you. voiceoveressentials.com.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're back. Here on VoiceOver Body Shop, we're talking with Will Lyman, joining us from Boston, Ma, as they used to say on Car Talk. And we were talking about your home studio and the equipment you use. We didn't quite get there. What microphone do you use, or does it really matter?
Well, it only matters in the sense that Frontline really requires the Neumann. So mm-hmm. I have a TLM.
103, probably.
102, 103, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they have both. Yeah, the 102 is a little one, and the 102 or 3 is a bigger one.
one.
I guess it's the 103.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it for voice work, it absolutely replicates the studio model. So it's great for me. But no, I've used a Blue Yeti in the back of my Toyota.
You're not alone.
Yeah. So the microphone for the most part does not matter. I've even used the Blue Yeti for Frontline, and they don't say, "Who are you using?"
Yeah, as long as you use it right and put it in a dead space, it
works.
Doesn't sound all that bad.
Yeah, you get it positioned right. You get enough cushions in the car. It's like, it works. It works. I record directly in. Well, not directly. I go through an Onyx. What is it?
The interface. Blackjack or something like that? Is it called a blackjack?
No, it's actually a little 8-track mix board.
Oh yeah,
and
Onyx mixer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Behringer.
I use like 12% of its capacity, I'm sure, and that goes into an ancient iMac. Mm-hmm. And I use Audacity.
There you go.
There you go, kids.
That's all you need.
Top guy in the biz, and he's using Audacity because it's
great.
And free.
Free and works.
Which is important to many voice actors who are living on
Mac.
Not Pro Tools.
Yeah, Pro Tools with one of their interfaces.
Yeah.
Drove me absolutely bonkers. you don't have the right thing for this. No, you have to get this and that. That's a subscription that'll cost you. It's like every month, Max. I forgot that. I got a different interface and used Audacity. I have Source Connect and I'm good to go.
Yeah. So all
and
the
I use, and I use I, for a phone patch. I use Skype. I run Skype through the board. It's a phone patch.
You see, now everybody, he's explaining to you that this is reality and it's not so much the gear, it's how you use it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we got a few questions here from our vast audience. First one is from Jim McNicholas. You want to get that, George?
Sure. Jim asks, your breakout role as narrator of Vietnam, A Television History. How did you get your big break?
Being around the right people, being in the right place at the right time, having been prepared when the situation arose. Before I did that, I had been doing, I made my living off of industrial narrations, talking about how cinder blocks are made, talking about how the optical weft reader on the mechanical looms were, operated, and making sense of all this stuff, trying to make it even medical stuff that I didn't have the first clue as to what it was, but basically reading syntax. And if there was something that I didn't understand, you say, does this mean this or does it mean this? And then making that distinction in the read. I'd been doing that for years before I hit it off with PBS. You learn how to do it. You learn how to make sense out of something. You learn how to put a real person in front of you, and speak to that person. I did a show on the OSTAR race, the Observer Single-Handed Transatlantic Race, which this guy he'd mounted 8-millimeter cameras on the transoms of these one, these single-handed vessels that were racing across the Atlantic from England to the U.S. And he gave each of them, cassettes that they'd slap into them, probably, 8 millimeters. They're probably like 12-minute cassettes or something like that. And also handheld cameras so that they could, shoot panoramic, or they could shoot, turn it around, shoot themselves, or walk up the transom, hit the button, and talk to the camera. It was quite a harrowing film, actually, remarkable film. But when I was recording it, and I just come from all these industrial reads and so on and so forth, he says, what I really want to hear is somebody that's just sitting on the couch next to me and telling me the things that I need to know in order to understand what's on the screen. Just giving me whatever background I need to say this is what. So you're sitting on the couch next to somebody and saying, this is what's going on here, and this is what's happening. And he didn't know that, blah, blah, blah. It was a very, very personal approach that taught me a great deal.
Good direction. Not always. You don't always get that good direction.
Yeah, really.
No.
But when you do.
You don't know much direction at all, quite frankly. Producers don't know how to direct. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Shh, we won't tell anybody.
The other person I learned a lot from was Bud Greenspan, who was the famous Olympic filmmaker.
Right, right.
Who taught me how to level it out. You don't always want to do that, but it was the style of his film, and it was the style I learned from him, which is still very useful. You don't need a lot of excitement in your work.
It doesn't dive up and down. It's just like...
Level it right out. Just say the word.
Like it is.
And it turns out to be remarkably emotional. Not because I'm emotional, but because the fact that I don't offer you any emotion, it frees the viewer to do whatever is happening to him or her. And that was a big lesson to learn as well.
I once read that Peter Coyote doesn't pre-read his copy, which to me was like, no, how could he possibly do that? I'm going to assume that you probably pre-read your copy before you do this stuff, even though, as you were saying, you've got a tight turnaround with something on Frontline or something like that.
I don't always read the entire script. Very often I will listen to the scratch track. But we have enough, I work fast enough, and we have enough time allotted in the studio for me to be able to read. I'm a good reader. I read ahead as I read. When I'm speaking these words, I'm looking at the next ones. So I know, I don't know. I just have an innate sense of how the sentence is going. And if I read it wrong, if I say, oh, that didn't go where I thought it was going to go, I just stop and do it again. It's no big deal.
Right.
And another thing that I might just offer to anybody who's interested, if you make a mistake in the studio, don't apologize and don't say, oh, I'm sorry, can I do that again? So they have to re-slate and do the whole thing. It's just do it. Just stop, take a breath, go on, do it again, fix it. Don't waste people's time with like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I always do that. I'm sorry. just do the job, just read it. Just go back and do it right. But anyway, that's what we can do there, and it doesn't take any time. If I didn't get it right the first time, just do it again. Big deal.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, if I'm reading it, it's like, well, that's not right. just stop and you just keep going. I mean, I never hit stop. It's just like, you just edit it out. Don't worry about it.
Stop button. I didn't say.
That's right. Question from JV Martin. When you started out in narration, who were your inspirations?
When I was a kid, I had a subscription to the Columbia Record Children's Record Club of the Month or something like that. And there was a guy, now once again, name, as soon as I start thinking about it, it disappeared. Norman, oh, that's terrible. Wonderful, wonderful narrator. Was the man on most of these records. And I just loved his voice, loved his storytelling, loved to listen to him. And I actually met him at a commercial audition, you know, like 25 years later. He still sounded exactly the same. It was great. So there was that. And I didn't really have anybody that I was trying to sound like. I didn't really know. Quite frankly, I wasn't a follower of voiceover people. Didn't really know much about the game at all. There were a lot of people that helped me. I mentioned Jay Rose, or maybe that's before we started, but Jay Rose, a sound brilliant sound engineer, no longer with us, unfortunately, who really kind of helped me figure out how to do a radio spot, how to, you know, what was important about what the flow of it, the different parts of it, the intro, the meat and the cell, and really helped me through a pretty raw time as a young voiceover guy. Very patient with me. So there were people that helped me, but I didn't have an idol. I didn't have a voiceover idol.
See, I had you.
No, you didn't.
No, I think our careers probably paralleled each other a whole lot. I used to be a booth announcer at the PBS station in Buffalo. So.
Oh yeah.
I listened
that one of your advertiser there who was talking about audiobooks.
Yeah,
talking about League of Denial. Yeah. Which was he did the audiobook for it, I guess. I didn't know it was an audiobook for it. But we did that on Frontline. We did League of Denial on Frontline. It made me swear off football, actually. True. I haven't watched football since.
Really?
Really.
Oh, exciting playoffs this week, especially with the Bills.
Big games. I've been tempted, but I fell out of love with the NFL after that.
Yeah, that'll do it.
This is an insupportable organization. They're not honest. They're stonewalling. So.
Was that Norman you were referring to from the Columbia Record? Was that Norman Rose?
Yes. Thank you.
And I don't know that. I
thought of that when I said Norman Rose. Norman Rose. Yes. Good one. Good one, George.
I like to fill in the gaps when I can.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm. I have the same gene. I have my dad's gene of dropping names in the right way. Dropping names out the back of your head.
That way.
I have that. JV, by the way, also a great voice actor himself and narrator too. He has a couple questions. I can see why. Regarding Frontline, are you a constant consumer of national news so that you'll know the story before you even need to tell it?
Oh, wow. Hey, JV, I've been sitting at the breakfast table for a good 2 hours with the Times and the Boston Globe, and then I come upstairs and read the Washington Post online. Not cover to cover, I must say. I'm not that fast a reader, but it's been pretty intense lately, I have to say. Normally, not so much. I used to come down and pick up the sports pages. That was the first thing I'd read, and then maybe I'd read a little news. Now I didn't even look at the sports pages. It's like front page of both papers first, and then go inside. That's it's a little exhausting and a little stressful. I keep saying I got to stop doing that, but
we're all doing it.
Yeah. I know.
In bed, but it's in bed with an iPhone, you know, reading the news. Really.
I try not to do that. I don't do that. I leave my iPhone in the bathroom.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
A good idea. Yeah. No, just really.
You clean it off.
Can we
somebody gave me one of those little UV light cases that you put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody gave me one of those too for my birthday.
Yeah, I won't get Rona from it, you know.
Yeah, it cleans the Rona and charges it at the same time or something.
Yeah.
Another one from JV Rule, last one he has. When the day comes you decide to hang them up, is there a voice acting genre that you will miss the most?
It would be frontline. That would be working with that team. They're just such great people to work with and so brilliant at what they do. And it's such a sense of fulfillment to know, you know, there were years when maybe I hadn't done anything, you know, I hadn't done a theater piece or I hadn't done anything that I thought was worthwhile. And yet I had done a year's worth of Frontline, another season of Frontline. And that made me feel good. And I don't have any plans to hang up on Frontline. You know, I'll wait for Frontline to hang up on me. But why stop? Why stop? I enjoy what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So same to you, JV. Keep it up.
Yeah. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show. Looking forward to this for 10 years. Now my life is complete.
Wait, man, I have no idea.
Well, you know, as someone who really appreciates good voiceover, somebody who, you know, and I listen and I know the voices and I know the names.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know who that person, you know who that person is. But Will Lyman's always one of the ones that's always at the top of my head. So I really appreciate you joining us and imparting some wisdom on us and telling us your story. And keep doing what you're doing, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your kind words, and I will do my best. Thank you. Right. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Will.
All righty. Will Lyman, everybody. All right. We'll be right back to wrap things up right after this.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Well, we already did the commercial for Source Connect. That was when Will Lyman says, I have Source Connect in my studio. So obviously, it's the tool to have. Source Connect is a product made by Source Elements, who's one of our long-running sponsors. And it's become this tool that's just synonymous with having a professional voiceover studio in your home. It's really that to that point now. It's a tool that's used by the vast majority of the top shelf producers out there, They love it because it's immediate. The audio quality they receive over Source Connect is production quality. They can immediately count on it and use it. And we've even started doing some production for another show I'm on using Source Connect Pro, where and the producer loves it because he can actually record all of us, his talent, all separately onto separate ISO tracks in his system in Pro Tools. So that cuts down on his production time too. Many of the other technologies out there don't have that ability to have recorded ISO tracks. Some do, some don't. But that's something that Source Connect can do. And that's just why it's been around for so long. And one thing to keep in mind too is when you get Source Connect, you do get support. Now you can do a subscription and continuously get support, which I highly recommend. Or you can buy it on a yearly. There's a couple of ways to get support, but you get support when you need it. And it's really a key thing when you're doing this kind of work from home. So check it out, get signed up, head over to source-elements.com and get a trial, get familiar with it, and be ready for when that agent or whoever says you need to have Source Connect, you can say, no worries, I got it covered. I got it ready. So thanks again, Source Elements. And we'll be right back to wrap it up.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alazraki, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we're back. It's great. Meeting Will Lyman. I've always wanted to do that, and now I have.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, no, he was great, and some great stories. Next week on this show, it'll be Tech Talk number 49. And we're going to be approaching 50 as we approach our 10th anniversary of doing VoiceOver Body Shop and eWabs. So I think one of the things we want, if there's a favorite moment of yours, now I know we have a lot of new viewers, to the show in the last 2 years. I mean, the audience is triple because, face it, we're just that damn good.
And extremely modest about it.
And very modest. And what else is there to watch except, like I say, Turkish soap operas? But if there's a favorite moment you have, write into us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, hey, what about this one? What about that one? There are some great moments. You can imagine if after 10 years of doing this show, we've got some great stuff. But if there's something you'd like to see again, we're going to put together a compilation of the greatest moments of VoiceOver Body Shop over the last 10 years as we prepare for the next 10 years. And, by the time we do 20 years of this, George, then the fact that I'll be well into my 70s,
after 20 years, people will still want to know what's the best mic for voiceover.
Absolutely. Without question. Send those in. But next week, we've got Tech Talk number 48. And then the following week, February 1st, the return of our good friend, Debbie Derryberry. The voice of Jimmy Neutron and all sorts of other stuff, and a great singer and just an all-round super person, a great coach.
Pint-sized powerhouse.
Yeah, she really, I think she comes up to about my knee. Who are our donors of the week?
Well, we've got those familiar names I've read so many times. Some of them I've even screwed up royally. You got Michael Kearns, Christy Burns, Graham Spicer. Hey, Graham. Sonia Mobley, Michelle Blanker, Christopher Epperson, Sarah Borges, and Philip Sapir. And those names are familiar because they're all probably subscribers. So when you go to donate, you can click the donate button. You can choose to just drop a little money in there at one time, or you can just subscribe for a very small amount if you want, and we'll just keep reading your name.
Yeah.
Who knows how someone's going to hear about you and want to hire you. I heard your name on VO. I don't know if anybody's actually ever said that that's actually gotten them a gig ever, but
it couldn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt.
Let's see what else. We have a mailing list, by the way, and yeah, I'm sure lots of you watching the show live because you got the notification that we had Will Lyman on tonight and that, I got to watch that. So you get an advanced view and a very personal message from us that's saying, hey, we want you to watch our show.
And email is still a thing, right? I think we're so overwhelmed with notifications and social medias, this and that, that sometimes just looking at an email box is the best way to be informed.
And sometimes it's just worth it to see the promos I put together for that. So
they are entertaining.
I work very hard on those. Let's see. We need to thank our sponsors, because without them, well, we'd just be a sponsorless show and probably would have lasted a year, not 10. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
Got to thank Jeff Holman for getting those questions together for us tonight in the chat room. Always thanks to him. Our technical director, Sue Merlino, who picked up a new system, and it was darn near
over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend.
Over the weekend, we switched to a whole new system.
I know, and it works.
It's awesome.
And it's making things a lot easier, especially for me today, because I'm not exactly sure what day it is. But thanks to her for getting that done. And Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to re-rack it and get ready for Tech Talk. Stay tuned for that. Make sure you write your questions in, because we want to answer your questions. But really, it's most important to understand that when it comes to voiceover audio, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Woodham.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.